episode of Mike Crispy Unafraid. Julian Assange is free. We're going to talk about what that means, give you a little rehashing of WikiLeaks, and could that play a role in 2024? We're going to break it down. Additionally, President Trump's vice presidential pick is reportedly down to three people. We're going to talk about who those people are and what the latest is. And CNN and the Biden-Harris campaign coordinating their messaging ahead of the debate. I want to welcome everybody into this very special Tuned Up Tuesday edition of the show today. It is June 25th, and I need you to help get this party started by rumbling this video. You guys know to do that. That is the thumbs up on the browser. That is the thumbs up on the mobile app. You click it, you hit it, you tap it, you share this, and you get us to the top of the Rumble leaderboards because it is the only place that we belong. So, we got a big program for you today. I'm ready. Producer Frankie's ready. Oh, you better be too. And let's go. Hello, everybody. Mike Crispy here, coming live from New York. It is Tuesday. It is June 25th, and I am joined by the most bass producer in the game. You know, if he had released the WikiLeaks stuff, like Julian Assange, he wouldn't have gotten 12 years. No, he would have been such a threat to the deep state. They would have given him the electric chair. That's how based he is. Producer Frankie, can't kill Producer Frankie. He's just getting going. Frankie, how are we doing?
Is that a compliment? I don't know. I don't know what to say there, Mike. But yeah, I will say one thing, and it is that I did not think that in late June of this year, we'd be talking about WikiLeaks or anything Pizzagate related. I'll tell you that much. Looking forward to it.
Oh, Pizzagate, Pizzagate. What are you talking about,
what,
Frankie?
What?
Oh, the people don't even know. Oh, they don't even know. They don't even know. I tell you, oh, conspiracy theories spouted by Mike Crispy today on his program. Now, we're going to tell you some really weird stuff on some of the WikiLeaks emails. It's so funny, Frankie. I like the existence of words in an email. If certain people don't like the words in an email, they spontaneously combust and give you labels, okay, that are nonsensical, that if we had an objective, fair press, they would look and go, sound pretty guilty there, buddy boy. Sounds like you like pedophiles. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. So, speaking of liking pedophiles, speaking of being guilty of many, many things, again, we're going to talk today about Julian Assange, what it means that he is free, why we think all of a sudden this deal was reached. But essentially, just to start you guys off, if you need a refresher, and many of you are old enough to remember the 2016 election and the history that it was, is that Julian Assange is free today, but Julian Assange had his highest level of prominence during the 2016 election. Julian Assange was a citizen journalist. Julian Assange did the job of an investigative reporter better than anybody probably ever did in the history of the world. And at the end of the day, the fact that Julian Assange published truths is what infuriated the elitists and the deep state and the globalists the most. They turned the story on the fake news media into how he got the information and totally ignored the fact that the information was damning, downright illegal, creepy, and immoral. That is what they denied covering. And anytime I saw the WikiLeaks stuff get published and talked about, anytime I saw people cover it on cable news back in 2015, again, I was much younger back then. It was literally 9 years ago. I mean, I've come a very long way in that time. But I was a Trump guy since day one, okay? I had the mental wherewithal to know that. But I was always asking myself, again, as somebody who like wasn't directly involved in the political process, I'm like, why don't they ever talk about like the fact that what's actually in the WikiLeaks emails are insane, okay? And instead they're just like, he illegally obtained the information. And I'm just like, listen, here's the thing. If you illegally obtain my text messages and my emails, you're not gonna find anything illegal going on there. You might find some funny things, some slightly embarrassing things, but you're not gonna find anything that is illegal, okay? You're not gonna find anything that implicates me in war crimes, that implicates me in child sex trafficking, that implicates me in money laundering. No. And you know that the people in the cable companies, the people that run the news cycle, weren't real news reporters and journalists, because if they were, it was totally blown open at the time. that they would have been celebrating Julian Assange because he was giving them a trove of information where these lazy ass reporters didn't have to get it themselves. And it was some of the most shocking and salacious and damning stories that we've ever seen in the modern era of world history. It's unbelievable. Yes, Frank.
Yeah, and you say, like, yes, if someone went through my phone, though, they wouldn't see all this stuff. But if it was the U.S. government and they stumbled upon something that was a little sketch, they would have no problem prosecuting you illegally, right? But they have no accountability here. I mean, we're looking at, you know, when WikiLeaks was released, it's like, all right, oh, we're finding out that they just bombed families all left and right just because. And it's like, okay, this is fine. This is the war that we've been described as, like, we need to save ourselves. It's like you're killing innocent people every single day of the week. No accountability. They just go after the guy who releases the information.
Zero accountability, and they convinced everybody to believe that the fact that Julian Assange wasn't, you know, killed, given, like, you know, an absolute electric chair, drone strike, death sentence, that was somehow a detriment to you. The fact that we pushed foreign wars in illicit fashion and engaged in war crimes and money laundering, and that international elites made a lot of money of it, they led you to believe, and many people do believe this to this day, that Julian Assange was a threat to you. Not to their power, but to you. Hillary Clinton put it in her own words. This was released just to tell you who Julian Assange was. They always say you can judge a man by the enemies that he has. Can't we just drone this guy? Clinton openly inquired. Hillary Clinton wanted to kill Julian Assange. And she didn't just want to kill him like, you know, Clinton body count conspiracy theory. Hillary Clinton wanted to kill Assange pretty openly. I mean, literally in her capacity as the Secretary of State, literally in her capacity as a U.S. Senator. I mean, Hillary Clinton was not shy about the fact that she wanted this guy killed. She literally said, let's use government taxpayer resources. What do you think? These are Hillary Clinton drones that she bought and paid for herself? No. Let's use government-funded taxpayer resources to kill the man who is blowing the whistle on the malfeasance, abuse, illegality of government resources, where they're going, how it's being used, who it's killing, who's being implicated, who's a victim. Hillary Clinton said, let's just kill him. Yes, Frank.
Yeah, and the craziest part of this whole thing is, like, it's not like he was in Russia, he was in China, you know, a foreign land where we have problems with their leaders. This was an Australian reporter. I mean, this is literally anyone, you know, all right, any reporters out there, if you're in Australia, I mean, these are NATO countries. These are people that have, you know, we have a semblance of peace with them. This just shows that if you crack the case and you happen to be in another country, they're going to at least, it's not off the table that they'll drone you. I mean, that's, what are we even talking about? How is that not news? You have the chance of getting droned no matter where you are if you release information about the United States.
Why? It is. Yes, and the best thing is that Hillary Clinton can't even help herself as she was being exposed for, like, the war crimes and the illegal behavior and seeking death and she literally goes, well, can't we just drone him? Like, she literally doubles down on the criminality in which she was angry for being exposed for. Okay. I mean, this is big stuff. Listen, guys, so Julian Assange, why didn't they like Julian Assange? Again, if you watch the cable news outlets, they won't give him fair play. We will on this show. Tucker Carlson gave him fair play. Here is some footage and clips of him to just show you who this man was. Again, the media spends a lot of time telling you, you know, he's this chaos agent. He's this, they call him a war criminal, that he sold secrets. I mean, they just take all of these narratives about him and, like, just spun it out there that he was this terrible danger. But this is who Julian Assange was. Frankie Rollins.
One of the hopeful things that I've discovered is that nearly every war that has started in the past 50 years has been a result of media lies. The media could have stopped it if they had searched deep enough. If they hadn't reprinted government propaganda, they could have stopped it. But what does that mean? Well, that means basically populations don't like wars. And populations have to be fooled into wars. Populations don't willingly and with open eyes go into a war. So if we have a good media environment, then you also have a peaceful environment.
WikiLeaks, I love WikiLeaks.
There he goes, like, and then they went, and then because because Trump said he loved WikiLeaks and he loved the exposure of it, they, again, spontaneously combusted and said, Trump is colluding with WikiLeaks. Remember the whole thing where they were saying that Roger Stone, our friend, was the go-between in the WikiLeaks. And again, they created fake, phony controversies out of nothing because Julian Assange exposed these people and Donald J. Trump was the threat to their power in a way they had never seen when it came to their cash cow, their tool that they use to implement, maintain, clamp down on, and exert and exact their force around the world. And that was military industrial complex. It was the game they had been running pretty unfettered, pretty uninhibited, for the last 50 years. Trump exposed it. Assange exposed it. They were going crazy. Yes, Frankie.
Yeah, and then just to mention, because Trump was talking about it, I mean, this helped Trump out so much because people don't even realize the only reason we know that the Clintons rigged the DNC and against Sanders is because of these documents that were released through WikiLeaks. We would have never known any of that. So it just shows the scale of this leak. You know what I mean? Insane.
The scale of what was going on and the scale of what Assange uncovered. Okay, so you want to talk about the next instance here, the war in Afghanistan. Obviously, a debacle that spanned almost 20 years, and the pullout of Afghanistan was just as bad. Everyone knows that if Trump was pulling out of Afghanistan, we would have lost zero troops, but we had senseless murder and death that occurred during the Afghanistan withdrawal, and it seemed like a quick withdrawal, okay, to like say, okay, we're done, covering up charts, we're gonna go move all of our resources, time, and money to the next scam, which is Ukraine, which, mark my words, will be the next forever war that they want to push on you. And eventually, if they have their way, they'll send in troops. If President Trump is not successful in November, they will have that as the next step. You better believe it. Assange, again, warning us about these things that cost this country trillions of dollars and thousands of lives. Frankie Rowland.
Because the goal is not to completely subjugate Afghanistan. The goal is to use Afghanistan to wash money out of the tax bases of the United States, out of the tax bases of European countries, through Afghanistan, and back into the hands of the transnational security. That is the goal, i.e. the goal is to have an endless war, not successful.
You hear that? An endless war, not a successful war. What does that remind you of? Kind of reminds me of anytime you ask any of the neocons or the leftists to describe the strategy in Ukraine. What's the objective? How do you win? What does a win look like? What does a defeat look like? What does a deal look like? They don't care about a successful war. They care about an endless war. They care about time, money, lives, distraction, press cycles. It's disgusting. Now, again, Julian Assange has a deal, okay? Basically has a plea deal. We're going to talk a little bit about why we think they offered him this deal after him being really, I mean, held in captivity for 12 years. He's been 12 years. He's been like hiding out. And they finally offered him this deal, okay, which essentially amounts to a 5-year sentence. And he has credit for time served, which he served in the UK penitentiary. So essentially, you know, he's going to not serve any more time. He's going to be able to go back to Australia. Assange, you know, never lived in America, doesn't want to live in America. As a matter of fact, for his extradition, he actually went to one of the Northern Mariana Islands, okay? That's where he has to, like, show up to court, like, in a U.S. territory. So he took a plane to the Northern Mariana Islands. He's so distrusting of the U.S. government that he will not step foot on any of, like, the 50-state mainland or Hawaii, like, area. And he goes to the Northern Mariana Islands to plead guilty, 5-year thing, go back to Australia, credit for time served, and he's out of it, okay? And again, we're going to talk more about why we think they did what they did with him and why the timing of it is interesting. But before we do that, here's another flashback, because people are saying, okay, does this have something to do with the election? Was Julian Assange freed, essentially, because of the Democrats, you know, moving of a narrative? They always do something crazy, then they kind of want to move on the narrative, and they want to kind of make it look like something good for themselves after they caused so much, you know, chaos and, like, manipulated it so badly for the prior X amount of years, i.e. COVID, i.e. Assange. But here's a little flashback during the last election cycle. Megyn Kelly having Julian Assange on. Very interesting. Frankie, roll this.
I got to ask you about the U.S. election. As you point out, you're not an American citizen. You're an Australian. You know, you're clearly not rooting for Hillary, but are you rooting for Trump?
No. I mean, it's If we have good information on Trump, we publish that. If we have good information on Hillary, the Democrats, we publish that. You know, I would like to believe that no organization, no media organization in the United States would not have published the DNC emails. Mm. But I don't think that's true, actually. I think MSNBC wouldn't have published them. I think the New York Times wouldn't have published most of them. And that's sad. It says incredible politicization in this election of the media. And it is a bit concerning, the allegations that by the Clinton campaign that everyone is a Russian agent are really disturbing. Why is that? Well, because bizarrely, Hillary Clinton, the Democrat, has positioned herself now to be the security candidate. She's powered up with the neocons responsible for the Iraq war, and she's grabbed on to this kind of neo-McCarthyist hysteria about Russia and is using that to demonize the Trump campaign. The Trump campaign is also...
Do you hear the way that Assange talked about it, basically saying he didn't have any confidence in the fact that the media would expose the truth, the fact they were covering for Hillary? And you notice the theme of most of Assange's motives. I mean, clearly it is to expose the security state. That's what Hillary Clinton is guilty of. And he said if there was anything on Trump, well, then they would publish it. But it drove them crazy that there was nothing to publish on Trump because he wasn't involved in any of this. And it's also interesting, Frankie and I were talking before we went on the air today about the other things that were in the WikiLeaks emails that were so damning to Hillary Clinton and her ilk. I mean, the emails that were published, not only, Frankie said, showed that the DNC was rigged, but also that something really strange was going on within Democrats and Republicans alike, the way that they spoke in emails. There would always be these drops of emails, okay, that we would see during the election cycle, these WikiLeaks dumps, they would call them. And they would just be these really strangely worded emails. It's like you call people conspiracy theorists for saying, wow, it's really interesting how, you know, these emails have very strange code words in them where they keep talking about pizza and they talk about this and like it just doesn't make sense in the context of the email. And I mean, everyone's talked about this. Joe Rogan, many, many shows have talked about it. And even the federal government now, years later, has said that on Instagram and on social media, people use the pizza emoji for CP, cheese pizza, AKA child porn. And then the guy who was one of the big Democrat funders, what was his name? James Elefantis. Okay, he was the founder of Comet Pizza. And this guy, James Elefantis, posted these really sexually perverse like images on his Instagram page of like little girls being tied up. And then he was just saying it was a joke with his niece. Who jokes and posts pictures of little girls tied up? Same guy being referenced in all these weird emails with all the code words. I mean, none of it made a lot of sense, Frankie. You have anything to add on this?
Yeah, I know. It was insane. The guy, James Elefantis, first of all, we only figured it out because he was emailing between, it was John Podesta, right? Who was Hillary's campaign manager right at the time. But all of these emails are so damning as far as just like they're clearly speaking in code. You know, this was when Obama was in the White House after he did his State of the Union. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, we need, you know, just weird numbers of like we need these cheese pizzas. We need these hot dogs from Chicago to the White House. Maybe we shouldn't do any more pizza parties at the White House. A little risky. It was like the weirdest codes that were clearly something was up. I mean, there was no question about it. And then on top of that, we had James Elefantis, who owned these pizza places in Washington, D.C. It was Best Pizza and Comet Pizza, right? Comet Ping Pong. Comet Ping Pong. But
yeah,
the crazy thing is that the FBI that same year released, you know, their documents basically saying these are the signs, these are the logos that pedophiles use in these channels that signifies, you know, guy or girl, right, children in these horrible, you know, for pedophiles to code, you know, and those actual signals were in, like, you know, when you look at these pizza parlors, those actual symbols, two of them were in the logo. And then all of a sudden, he gets rid of all of them. He sells the places. Yeah. Oh, it's all done. They send some crazy guy to shoot it up looking for children. And then we're all crazy.
Yeah.
it was crazy.
Well, and I got to tell you, Frankie, you're absolutely right. I was going to say, then they do their sweeping cover up again. They send somebody in, and they say he wants to kill everybody, and then that is designed to make people stop asking questions, because if you ask questions now, you're lumped in with like being a crazy person that'll go shoot it up. When it's just like, I'm not crazy, Frankie's not crazy, we're not crazy for reading the emails and saying something is effed up here. All brought to you by WikiLeaks. So unbelievable. Now, this is what Mike Pence had to say about it. You want to talk about why Assange wasn't pardoned during Trump's first term? I think President Trump learned a lot about the people that he could trust and work with and not. Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence, they were quick to condemn what happened with Assange, okay? Bill Barr. These people did not want Assange freed. We're going a little over in the segment, but that's okay. This is what Mike Pence said. Julian Assange endangered the lives of our troops in a time of war and should have been prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. The Biden administration's plea deal with Assange is a miscarriage of justice and dishonors the service and sacrifice of men and women of our armed forces and their families. An absolute lie and BS. Let me tell you something. First things first, I think that the people who serve this country, the armed forces, I think they want to know that they are defending this country for the right reasons. I think they want to know that their lives aren't being used as bargaining chips and widgets on a chessboard for other elites, both foreign and domestic, to make a lot of money. I think they don't want endless wars. I think they stand with President Trump's policy of, we want transparency and we want a military so strong that nobody will mess with us. And when we shut down the levers of the military industrial complex, we have peace in our land, because as Assange says, nobody really supports war. Only war is supported when the media colludes with the security state to whip up the masses and get them to buy in. I think that's what the people stand for. So I think if you are a patriotic American, or if you're serving this country and you believe in the mission of protecting our homeland from any type of enemies, you stand with Assange, period. It's unbelievable. It's been wrong all along. It's funny, this all started with like the Chelsea Manning thing, right? Like Chelsea Manning leaked the information to Assange, and Assange just published it, and it was like all the crimes and all that. But Obama commuted the sentence of Chelsea Manning into his right before he left office. Espionage, boom, let her out, him out, whatever, it's a tranny freak. But Assange was rotting away. Now, the last thing I want to do here, Frankie, we will go short in the next segment. Why do we think they freed Assange now? Why do we think they made the deal? Here's what I think they did, okay? I'm going to end the segment with this. I think they decided to free Assange because two reasons. One, they see themselves losing massive votes with the RFK faction and the Libertarian faction. RFK has been an advocate of freeing Assange. The Libertarians, which Trump spoke to, that's like 3% of the vote. RFK is like 8% of the vote. So Biden needs to claw back something, okay? They need that group of people to be less motivated to go out and cast a vote against Biden. Do you understand? So that's why I think they did it. I think they did it in concurrence with beefing up their apparatus to prevent WikiLeaks from doing what WikiLeaks has done. Again, they spend billions of dollars to cocoon and protect their own apparatus of lies and backroom deals and communications. And I think they spent the last 12 years fortifying that, basically to the point where they say in a calculated move, okay, we could let Assange out now, make it look like we're doing something good. They never did, because they had him locked up for 12 years while they were fortifying their own stuff, okay? So people couldn't get the truth. Them say, okay, calculated decision, we get a little less RFK, a little less Libertarian voting against us. It'll help Biden. We fortified our security state with billions more of your tax dollars, and that's why we're doing it. Don't act like or think for a second that these people all of a sudden have seen the light of justice. Absolutely not. Do not forget. This is insane stuff. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with so much more. Do not go anywhere.
It'll be good for the debate, though.
You know what they say, Frankie? You know what they say. You know what they say, Frankie? Had to do it. We had to do it. We had to. I mean, that was a long segment, but I mean, incredibly important topic that we hope people, you know, understand the grasp of the moment and how this is, you know, this is a big show, a very important show, because it's such an important topic. Okay, everybody, want to tell you guys really quick, and again, we're over time. We're going to try to make up here, get the trains back running on time. Going to tell you about some of our sponsors that make the show possible. And our first sponsor of the show today are our friends over at Genesis Gold Group. Guys, head on over to goldwithcrispy.com right now. That is goldwithcrispy.com right now. You see what they're doing to the paper dollar, okay? They are trying to make the paper dollar obsolete. They are trying to make the paper dollar absolutely worth less. They are trying to take your retirement savings and water down the value of it. It is a hidden tax in real time. So you know the value of the dollar is gonna be down and continue to go down by like 20% every decade. They're literally shredding the value of it through this insane inflation. How do you hedge against that? Well, you need to diversify your assets with gold and silver, okay? I'm telling you, that is because gold and silver is the store of value that has stood the test of time over the last number of decades, okay? Countries around the world invest in gold and silver. The BRICS nations are creating a new currency backed by gold and silver. Gold and silver is how you hedge, okay? I'm talking about hedge. Again, you still wanna keep paper dollars, that's fine, I get it. But gold and silver is what you need to hedge your assets. And people are always saying, oh, you know, where do I, it's, I can't spend gold and silver at the Walmart. I can't spend it in the store. Well, listen, guys, now you can get physical gold and silver in small quantities, all the way up to big quantities, physically in your hand. Genesis Gold Group is the first company to do that, okay? They have these things called the Prepper Bars. They're like these little gold like and silver bars, okay? And you can break off pieces. So from the smallest store value to the biggest, like the big bars, okay? You can buy it physically.
Show them,
and
Mike.
Own it and basically have it right there. I don't have it, Frankie. I don't have it with me, but you see it on the screen right there. You have it right there. The Prepper Bars, okay? So that's what they're called. So guys, go to goldwithcrispy.com right now, goldwithcrispy.com right now, and get in touch with them. Ask them about the Prepper Bars. Ask them about the investment guide. Get started today diversifying your assets. They are an amazing company doing amazing work. So important. goldwithcrispy.com. All right, and now a word from our next sponsor, and our next sponsor, a very important one. Additionally, it's called iTarget Pro. Guys, head on over to iTargetPro.com right now and use your promo code CRISPY for 10% off. What do they say are the two most important things, Frankie? Gold and ammo. Gold and ammo. Well, if you have ammo, now you save the ammo, okay? Because iTarget Pro allows you to train with your firearm and the convenience of your home in honing and improving your accuracy in sharpshooting without having to spend your valuable ammo. Okay, it is a laser firearm home training system. Laser bullet loads into the chamber, syncs up with the app, okay? And then you were able to dry fire with your gun into either the target or the cubes. You see the target on the screen, you see the cubes on the screen right there. So, guys, it is a revolutionary product. You'll be able to save money, okay? Because ammo, the cost of it is going up in real time. Save money at the range and train in your home, okay? It has never been more important to be able to sharpshoot and be able to exercise and understand your Second Amendment rights. So realize those, have everybody in your family sharpshooting. Get an iTarget Pro and train on it every single day like my family does, okay? iTargetPro.com, promo code CRISPY for 10% off your order. Listen, guys, I love you all. I appreciate you all. I see a great chat. I see a great audience. We're gonna try to get the show a little bit back on track. So we're gonna roll right back into it. Frankie's happy that I'm doing it. We're gonna try to speed it up, get it back, do comments in the next section. But we just have so much information flowing and percolating through our veins that sometimes we can't do all the chats. Will you forgive us? Okay, we still love you. We're still live. I'm looking at everybody. Kendra, Vintage, Log, Voter, Sue W. Let's go, Frankie.
All right, we are on in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here, and I'm coming to you live on this Tune-Up Tuesday. What a Tune-Up Tuesday it is. We are. Sometimes Frankie and I said to Frankie before the show, I said, today's going to be a show. I said, today's going to be a show, Frankie.
Yes.
And whenever we say that, it doesn't disappoint. Now, speaking of disappoint, the Democrats never disappoint to show their hysteria, okay, on full display and not even be able to do a good job of hiding it. You know somebody really is past the point of bail. You know their hysteria is like, you know, uncontrollable and demonic when they literally can't even moderate their tones or positions. I'm talking right before a time where they're going to be scrutinized at the highest level, okay? It's like, think about it like this, okay? Here's a good analogy for you. You have a restaurant that's really dirty, okay? It's a really dirty restaurant. And then you have a restaurant that's like pretty clean and good. Health inspector is coming in to do a health inspection, right? A really dirty, disgusting restaurant. No matter what you do, the health inspector is going to fail it. If you go into a restaurant that's like pretty clean, you know, but then you come in, you got the health inspector coming in, they like do a couple things, they like kind of do like some like, you know, quality control, and they pass the inspection. But when something is past the point of disgusting, there's no covering it up, no matter who's looking, who's inspecting, who's, you know, peeking in. It's a great analogy for CNN right now, as more eyes than ever are on the bias of CNN leading up to the debate between Trump and Biden on Thursday. You guys saw the clip that we showed yesterday to lead off the show of Caroline Leavitt, Trump's spokesperson, engaging with the Karen, okay, who lost her mind, literally started crying. Oh my goodness, she was literally crying on air, okay? Trump is literally Hitler, the woman spontaneously convulsing and combusting in real time. But this is the clip that Caroline Leavitt was accurately referencing as to why CNN inherently could never be fair and could never do a clean job in administering this debate. Frankie, roll it.
Rather than just following Donald Trump down that dark rabbit hole of parroting Nazis.
Well, as long as you mention it, as you know, Donald Trump a couple times over the weekend referred to immigrants from South America, Africa, and Asia. He did not mention Europe. South America, Africa, and Asia as, quote, poisoning the blood of our country, which it's not hyperbole. That does very directly echo Adolf Hitler's language before World War II, before the Holocaust. What kind of effect does that have in the Latino community in Texas? And the reason I ask is because
Oh, my goodness. And you know how you know that these things are just absolute nonsense is that since that moment, again, that was back in the day, Trump has only continued to surge amongst the Latino voters. Nobody was buying it. But again, they're so dirty. They're so far gone. They're so hysterical. They're so mentally depraved. They can't even look objectively at themselves in the mirror and say, why isn't it working? Maybe we need to change. No, past the point of pale. This is what CNN really aired in a segment yesterday, talking about President Trump's speech over the weekend, where again, anytime President Trump is joked, like again, Trump's got that New York, Long Island style humor, okay, he's making jokes, he's cracking jokes, you know, he's being sarcastic. And the funny thing was that back starting in 2015, anytime Trump would be like super sarcastic and would be making jokes, the whole public would be laughing along with it. Like, they know, I like this guy. But CNN would take it so literally. And they'd be like, oh my goodness, he wants to do this. And they would literally go crazy. And then everybody would just laugh at CNN going like, buddy, like he's being sarcastic. Trump said he wanted to be president for life. It's like, and then you go, you know what? I kind of like that idea. I think maybe I will be president for life. And clearly everyone's laughing along. But CNN goes, breaking news tonight. President Trump echoes Adolf Hitler saying he wants to be the leader for life. And they do that with a straight face like it's a real news report. This is their latest installment of it. They can't help themselves. Roll it, Frank.
Why in the hell is one of the two presidential candidates talking about putting migrants into gladiator fight-like experiences? Why is that even going on?
I think he has to create a fear. I think that what you see is there has to be a fear. There has to be a fear part of this. And when you see a group of folks that they're really worried about on the other side of the aisle, let's take just for example, moderate voters in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Like, he's going to lose those women because of Dobbs and choice, but he has to figure out a way strategically to get them back. Mm-hmm. And creating this fear factor about what's going on at our southern border is just one of the ways that they'll do that.
He's not creating the fear.
Frankie. Oh, and can you believe, and yeah, that was the response, the rebuttal. But I'll tell you, the fear is created by the real illegals. I can explain it better than CNN's conservative commentator. The fear is created by the actual killing, maiming, raping, brutalization of cities and the absolute destruction of the rule of law, cops becoming migrant camp counselors. That's maybe why people are having fear, okay? That's maybe why. It's not a strategy by Donald Trump. Oh, the migrant fight league, the guy's kidding. The guy's making a joke. They go crazy in hysterical fashion. And you heard there, that guy, okay? The guy who took a joke seriously. Again, joke's always on them. you hear them take it seriously. And the funny part about it is that you heard them squeeze in there the abortion thing. They really want the abortion narrative to be front and center. And there's something I've noticed over the last week of coverage watching left-wing television. I do it, so you don't have to. And that is a concerted shift to talking 75% of the time about abortion. You're probably saying, well, 75%, like, why all of a sudden? Has something happened? Has there been a ruling? Like, why are they talking about it all of a sudden? Every single thing, oh, abortion topic, abortion topic, abortion battle, abortion battle. So all they're talking about lately. Kind of like this here, what you see. Again, Byron Donald's in contention to be vice president of the United States. Running in a time where we have an illegal border crisis. We have simultaneous foreign wars breaking out. We have an inflation problem that is running rampant. And this is what CNN asked Byron Donald about yesterday. And then the Biden-Harris campaign posted this clip. And look at where they cut it off, snip it, cherry pick it. Look at this. This is a designed, concerted, strategical approach here. Roll, Frankie.
How responsible is Donald Trump for overturning Roe versus Wade?
Well, look, obviously, President Trump installed three Supreme Court justices. Those three justices were a part of changing Roe v. Wade and actually eliminating.
And they cut it right there because Byron Donald would go on to talk about how now Trump says it's up to the states. And the funny thing is that Biden tweeted yesterday. And they showed, they went in his Twitter history, and he literally copies and pastes and tweets the same, well, somebody, whoever doing it, who's doing it for him, tweets the same thing. Voting for Donald Trump is a vote on a federal abortion ban. And President Trump literally said, listen, I got Roe v. Wade overturned, yes, and now I'm leaving it up to the states. And they still continue to say it. And the question is, why do they continue to say it? Why do they make abortion the only issue? Here is the disingenuous fake news at work here. Kamala Harris this week has begun a campaign tour as Biden has seated himself to the basement. Kamala Harris's campaign tour is all about, oh, you guessed it, check notes, not about inflation, not about illegals, not about foreign wars, not about taxes. Oh, it's about abortion rights. Well, why do they keep doing things about abortion rights? I mean, it's pretty settled. Trump said it's up to the states. Trump overturned Roe v. Wade. It's like, that's kind of it. I mean, there hasn't been any breaking news on this in months. But the media now is creating it into a press cycle to give cover to Kamala for doing rallies about a topic, an issue that I guess they think will win them votes. And it's the only thing I guess they feel that they can campaign on because everything else is so dog shit with their record. It is a strategic collusion between MSNBC, CNN, and the Biden-Harris campaign. Here's more of it on Morning Joe. Roll, Frankie.
So, Lauren, I just wonder how important you think it is to use wording that is authentic to the problem at hand. Since Roe was overturned, there are women who can't get the health care that they need. Abortion is not a bad word. Abortion is a life-saving word. A DNC and the procedures that one uses when they are miscarrying, they are life-saving procedures. They are, and when you use words like reproductive freedom or freedom over my body, it somehow triggers those on the far right as if it's something that can't be said out loud. It certainly can be said out loud because it's about saving one's life. And whether you're on the far right or you're a moderate Republican, if you're a man or a woman, there's going to be someone you love who needs an abortion in order to live or to not be sterilized or to have a miscarriage in a less traumatizing way so they can.
It is so tiresome. It's like all they do is go. You could kill the baby. We're going to let you kill the baby. You're going to have sex and you're going to get pregnant and you're going to kill the baby. And it's like real. Like this is what the Democrat Party has relegated themselves to. Party of the working man, party of JFK, party of, you know, like labor and all this. It's like they're literally now just the party of, okay, we have nothing else to run on. Kamala Harris has the IQ of 50. We're going to send her out there to talk about the killing of the babies, okay, in the black communities where you're going to rile, oh, Donald Trump's going to take away your abortion rights. It's like, no, actually, you know, a lot of these people they're appealing to are in states that have Democrat governors, and Democrat governors, again, until you replace those Democrat governors, nothing's going to happen when it comes to abortion rights. And Trump said it's a state issue. So what exactly is the campaign message here? Whole campaign week strategy leading up to the debate, and it's about abortion. Tells you everything you need to know. And then the media just makes it a story. Yes, Frankie?
Yeah, and it's just, it's like, you know, this could be a topic of conversation, but I don't remember... Did three justices just pass away and are being replaced? I'm just confused because nothing's changed with the Supreme Court. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, they're just mixed. So that's the problem here, is that it's such a obvious manipulation of the press to make it a story. Think about it. Like, the press would report on what's going on and then, like, the politicians would react. This is in reverse. This is politicians run on something that nobody's really thinking about, and then the media reacts to them and makes it a story for them. That's what's broken about all this. Now, you want to talk about Bidenflation and the economy? Look at the way that the mainstream media is spinning that next. Hilarious. Frankie, roll this.
And the Trump economic package frightens them. It's extremely inflationary. The tariffs, 10% across the board on all imports, that's just crazy. It'll lead to a 3% increase for sure in inflation and plunging the GDP. Right. And that's before retaliatory gestures. The increase in the deficit, he wants to cut $5 trillion of taxes with no commensurate cut in expenditures. So these are problems. He doesn't believe in the independence of the Fed.
What do you say to the CEOs? There's a lot of CEOs who are watching us now, probably watching you speaking, saying, but you know what? I don't like the Biden administration when it comes to the regulatory regime right now. I worry about the tax policy and what's going to happen if the Trump taxes roll off in 2025 and what that debate looks like. I mean, there are folks, as you said, 70% of the CEO community, Republicans. Do they turn out to be reluctant Biden voters? Do they not vote at all? I mean, where do you think they land?
They'll be reluctant Biden voters. They don't want the fabric of society pulled apart.
Oh, my goodness. They don't want the fabric of society pulled apart. I mean, Frankie, it's like it's getting so bad where the value of the dollar, okay, is just crumbling. And that's not an ad for Genesis Gold. It's just true. Where the value of homes right now have outpaced the value of the dollar, and the value of food right now has outpaced any type of wage growth. It's a mess. Oh, the fabric of the norms. So President Trump was in there for 4 years. Inflation was at an all-time low. Everything was cheap and affordable, and gas was low, and energy costs were low. And he's like, well, the fabric, and we haven't even talked about the... How about this? You lower taxes, you cut billions of dollars in foreign aid, you shut the border and don't give money to the illegals that cost billions of dollars, you simultaneously impose the tariffs, you will have them stop devaluing our currency as a result. You use strength around the world to get the petrodollar back in, okay, where like the oil commodities are backed and have to be bought in the dollar instead of any other currency. That's a new phenomenon under Biden. And you get the country back on track. It's hilarious. Like, well, no Fortune 100 CEOs are donating to President Trump. But it's like, look at the absolute lie that they're spinning. All of the richest people in this country right now are giving to Trump. Well, the Fortune 100 CEOs. Okay, but the chairmen of the boards are people who have, you know, massive tens and hundreds of millions of dollars of stock are. Like everyone is talking right now, and they're just lying. Well, the CEO, so the person who is in the position of CEO, which is a very like corporate, you kind of walk in the tightrope. So the person in the position of CEO isn't donating the money to Trump. But people on the board are, the founders are, the people of massive stock holdings are. Everybody wants to make money right now is giving millions of dollars to President Trump. So much so that Trump now has just dominated Biden in all fundraising. He's blowing him out of the water. Do you understand that in 2016, Hillary had a massive cash advantage over Trump? 2020, Biden had a cash advantage over Trump. Now, Trump is killing Biden. in both small dollar donors and in the mega donors. So don't believe this nonsense for 1 minute. It is an absolute joke. They are creating a press cycle, okay, to cover for the politicians. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with so much more. Do not go anywhere.
Oh, we got a show today, Mike. We got a show.
Oh, man, what a show. What a show. All right, everybody, I want to tell you guys, one, thank you very much. Two, I love you all very much. We got Pop OFP Farms in the house. Pop OFP Farms. We'll be in touch. We'll be in touch. We appreciate you very much. How about that? A little, we call that a little cliffhanger, right? Do a little cliffhanger there. Green Broccoli, great to see you. Sissy Mouse, Lynn Watson, Conserva Q, Kit Kat Mar, Robbie Sunshine, Ashley Garland, Annette Smith. Guys, I'm sorry we don't have much time for the chats today, but that's because Frankie and I, sometimes we're just dishing, okay? Dishing. Serve it up, silver platter, straight off the grill, beautiful, Wagyu, okay? Just like the greatest you could imagine. A5 quality right here. We're serving up.
There we go.
If you know, you know. So, I mean, it's a great show. So, guys, I want to tell you guys about our next sponsors as we roll on here. And our next sponsor of the show making all this possible today is Done With Debt. Guys, they're called debt traps, and if you don't get out from under them right now, the debt trap will consume you whole. But it's not your fault. You didn't have the credit card companies jack up the interest rates. Use it. You didn't cause this rampant inflation. This is something plaguing millions of Americans. And if you're dealing with these problems, well, then you are not alone. This is where my friends Done With Debt come in, okay? They are the debt relief strategists that you need to call right now if you're having any problems. They know how to get these things done. The first thing they do is they stand between you and the bill collectors, like a force field, like a bouncer, okay, like a security guard. Then they work with you in a consultative fashion to get you out from the debt trap in a unique, okay, tailored approach and solution. Then you're on your way to financial freedom and prosperity once more. Just go to donewithdebt.com and tell them that your friends at LFA TV sent you. That's donewithdebt.com. Tell them your friends at LFA TV sent you. And by the way, sometimes I just do an ad read and I just say to myself, I'm not reading a script or a teleprompter. I'm just that good. Okay. So there you go. That was like that good. So you're welcome. Hey, Done With Debt. You're welcome. You're welcome. Because that was really good. So, okay. All right. And amazing, and I want to tell you guys time. Make sure you head on over to the LFATV.us website right now. And if you can become a monthly donor, that would be absolutely amazing. LFATV is powered by viewers like you. You know what they always say, PBS kids, you know, powered by view, funded by viewers like you. No PBS, okay? That's your tax dollars unwittingly going into their propaganda programming. LFA is a little different, okay? Viewers like you, meaning you're directly putting your dollars so we can keep doing this coverage. And I'm telling you, Jeremy, Harrow, and I are talking, we're plotting, we're scheming in a good way. Frankie too, Eli, everybody, Sean Farish, we're getting ready for big stuff now leading up into Election Day. You better believe it. Frankie, we got some live chat. Let's do live chat.
Yeah, I see. I got a comment 3 minutes ago from Sully W, and she's asking about the quality. She said, once, you know, Frankie, you did talk about what quality I should be watching. I said, 1080p, highest quality. Will look great. That's all I got.
I like that Frankie. I like that Frankie always likes to answer these technical questions. 1080p, you know, whatever.
It's my language.
And sockets, and you know, it's like, yeah. So Frankie's got like that left brain thing going. I got that right brain thing going, and then, you know, as my mom would say, two halves of a whole idiot. Okay, there you go.
I like that.
For the show.
Red the rock.
So, Kendra Olson, I love this show. It always makes my day. Kendra, that comment just made my day. How about that? All right, guys. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. We're appreciative of everybody. Are you guys covering the debate, says B. Schilling. Okay, we're not covering the debate. But quick announcement, programming announcement. If you are living in New Jersey, you guys know I'm in New Jersey, in Seaside Heights, Hemingway's, okay? Jersey Shore Boardwalk, okay? You guys, you know Jersey Shore Boardwalk right there. We have the whole place rented out. We're gonna be doing a debate watch party. The America First Republicans of New Jersey, the group in which I'm the chairman, co-chairman of, we're gonna be having an event free and open to the public. It's gonna be great. We're gonna have people there, Project 14, getting people set up to ballot harvest and recruit new voters for Trump. Okay, so you guys know I talked about that at the Trump rally. We're continuing on our efforts, Project 14, debate night watch party. If you are in New Jersey, okay, and you're in the vicinity of Seaside Heights, come on down, debate night, 7 o'clock, doors open, Hemingway's, Seaside Heights. All right, Frankie, let's get it.
And yes, LFA will be running the debate. On in. 5, 4,
three, two, one.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here. Now, there's much speculation ramping up as President Trump says that he apparently has made his pick on who his vice president will be. Now, nobody quite knows who the pick will be because the only person who knows who the pick will be is Donald J. Trump. Anybody who tells you otherwise, well, you can put them in the category of podcasters who went, well, Trump and DeSantis are working together and the deal has already been formed. Remember all the people that talk, anytime, I mean, I know names, but I'm not going to name names because I'm a nice guy. And some of these people are nice guys. I think they were just bloviating for ratings. Okay, not on this network, but there are other people on other networks, but they're on Rumble, but I'm not going to name names because they're nice people. But it's like, how full of shit were you? Okay, anyway, apparently the choice is down to three people. We don't know who the person is, but it is down to the three people you see on the screen right here. I'm going to skip, don't shoot the messenger. Okay, now I tweeted about this last night. I'm going to tell you what happened when I did. But apparently, if you read reports, Gateway Pundit reported it this morning. Okay, I trust the Gateway Pundit and other sources before. I guess the Gateway Pundit verified it in some way, shape, or form. Doug Burgum, J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio. Listen, those aren't my favorite three picks. But these are the picks. Now, Doug Burgum is doing a lot of media lately. A lot. He was on Fox News last night. Listen to how he is kind of setting the tone pre-debate. He's kind of taking the lead on like the pre-debate narrative, which I think might tell us something. Roll it, Frankie.
For CNN's a big Russian disinformation laptop purveyor, my dad always says, if you got to eat crow, eat it while it's hot. Well, this crow is positively frigid right now. Do they ask about it?
What?
Well, I think they have to. If they don't, I think you can just toss the whole debate out the window and say that it wasn't actually at all moderated in a way that both the candidates were being asked tough questions. And so this is the if you were moderating this, Kaylee, I think you'd say this has to be the first question.
Yes.
Because it goes back to the matchup from 4 years ago, and it goes back to a flat out lie to the American people, which is why it's crazy they're trying to
lie. I like that from Burgum. I like that. The first question of the debate needs to be about the laptop, because if CNN wants to show that they're fair, well, then you need to start with that, because that was a huge point of contention in the last debate, and they've been proven debunked, not just proven debunked by like Trump saying it, but by the courts having it be admissible in the Hunter Biden gun trial, okay? Now, interesting by Doug Burgum there. By the way, Frankie, I'll give you a pledge, Frankie. As the host of a show that you are the executive supreme leading producer on. Okay. I will never give a reference about eating hot crow, frigid crow, mild crow. I mean, just, you know, it's not going to give.
What was that?
Kind of weird. The producer's probably like, okay, Kaylee. All right. Okay. Now, back to the show. So I put out this poll last night on X, Twitter. And it's funny because, like, people pay, like, again, I know about polling from running for office. People pay, like, thousands of dollars for polls. This poll got over 4,000 respondents, okay? So you could say it's in some way scientific because, like, you know, that's a lot of respondents. Like, people pay, like, you know, $1,000, $10,000 for a poll, yeah, like, it's 1,000 people. So, you know, you do a... Yeah.
Your audience is so balanced, though. Yeah, it's definitely fair.
Well, no, but it just... But it just was going, no, but it's a conservative audience. So I got to tell you, Frankie, actually, I think it's a pretty scientific poll because, like, my audience is a Trump MAGA audience, obviously. So in the Trump MAGA sphere, like, who is this audience? Now, you could argue that I don't have a lot of, like, Marco Rubio people wing of the Republican Party in my followers. But I would imagine that most of the people who are adamantly, you know, excited to go vote for Trump are probably people who are in the vein of those who follow Mike Crispy on X. Not saying it's anything about me, but just like kind of the profile of how I tweet, what I say. So the poll had 4,000 respondents and 300 replies. So you could basically say about 4,300 people participated in this poll, okay? And interestingly enough, my friend Brendan Dilley commented below. And he said, Ben Carson is the pick, always has been. And Brendan Dilley's reply, hold on, there's a reason why I'm saying this. Brendan Dilley's reply got over 1,300 likes. So I basically considered that votes for Carson. Does that make sense? So I didn't put Carson in the poll because apparently he's not one of the three. But as kind of like a thing, like an ode, like, okay, Ben Carson, you know, if he was in contention, these are the results. 51% Doug Burgum, 8% Marco Rubio, 41% J.D. Vance. And 1,300 people apparently liked the Ben Carson reply. So you could basically say 1,000 people. So, you know, a healthy chunk of them said they wanted Carson in addition to it. So if you have 5,000 respondents, Frankie, and 1,000 of them went for Carson, what's one-fifth? So that's 20% with him not even being in the poll. Okay, that tells you that a lot of people like Carson. But the fact that Burgum beat Vance by 10% tells you that I think Vance's stock is falling right now. And in tomorrow's show, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, you know, trifecta. I'm going to do a little bit of kind of a deep dive, if you will, on these three candidates. Kind of have that kind of in the works already. See, I got the show planned for the next show while I'm in the current show. That's how much we're on these shows. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to talk about that. But Burgum beating Vance right now, front runner, I agree. I think Burgum reading the tea leaves is the front runner, but we'll see. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap up the show. Do not go anywhere.
We love it.
We love it, Mike.
All right. By the way, how about Gotcha? For Gotcha goes, Carson is the best pick. Sorry, Frankie.
Yeah.
By the way, all my friends are telling me, we're like, you know, replying and DMing me about this poll. And everyone's like, oh, Mike, why didn't you put Carson in? Because producer Frankie would get mad at you. I'm like,
I had no part.
Just reading the report. I had 5 people who sent me that. They're like, oh, is Frankie going to get mad at you? All right, guys, super quick at the end of the show right now. Want to wrap up with this, guys. Make sure you go to MyPillow.com. If you can, MyPillow.com. If you can buy anything on the site and use your promo code UNAFRAID, you'll get 82% off. Listen, it's summertime. It's beach time. It's towel time. Probably got to look at your towels and say, ew, these towels are disgusting. These towels are ratty. I need new towels. I need absorbent towels. I need towels that the sand just rolls off them, okay? Like Mike Crispy with the words of wisdom rolling off his tongue. That is why you use promo code UNAFRAID. That was pretty good. At MyPillow.com. 82% off your order. Up to 82% off your order. Don't get sued here. Up to 82% off your order. Let's go. MyPillow.com. All right, Frankie, let's roll right back in.
All right. And just a reminder, we are playing the debate. I see people saying, oh, go to Crowder. No. LFA TV. Jeremy will be playing the debate. Come here. On in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here. Now, I want to end the show with this, okay? The Democrats in Pennsylvania are already paving the way to attempt to cheat and steal this election. This is an ad that is running on Pennsylvania television and in Pennsylvania digital ads. Now, it was running, and I am told that it was pulled off the air last night. But this was the ad that Democrats put out. Look at the disingenuous malfeasance that they're already laying the table on. Roll it, Frankie.
Mail-in voting is totally corrupt. Get that through your head. It has to be. There's fraud. They found them in creeks. They found some with the name Trump just the other day in a waste paper basket.
All of the things that are happening with votes by mail, I'm not going to say which party does it, but thousands of votes are gathered and they come in and they're dumped in a location, and then all of a sudden you lose elections if you think you're going to win.
Please stand strong with President Trump against the mail-in voting. Now, President Trump has said, again, you guys know I'm all over this stuff in New Jersey. He has said we need to be too big to rig. And the too big to rig message is resonating and working. That means we overwhelm the system every single which way. Having low propensity voters, I said it, and then Charlie Kirk said it, I like Charlie Kirk, that we have low propensity voters, I said it at the rally, that are going to engage and vote any kind of way. That's the vote by mail, that's the ballot harvest, that's the early voting. People who wouldn't normally vote that right now are pissed off about the Bidenflation, the foreign wars, and the illegals. We're getting them in. The only way the Democrats can combat it in swing state Pennsylvania is to put out PSYOP messaging like that and say, oh no, don't do the mail-in voting, don't do it. We need to keep it. This is our lane to cheat. Trump said it, disingenuous lies. We got him on the ropes. That ad tells you everything you need to know. Okay, that's about all the time that we have in the show today. You guys know what we do in this program. We keep it America first, we keep it bold, and we always, 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 always keep it unafraid. You better believe we're just getting started. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you back live tomorrow.